Oh my goodness.
We did it.
Hey, listen, the cameras are rolling.
Well, they don't roll anymore, but okay.
Well, something like that, right? I just feel like this is a production. So, you know, I think then that's still the thing, like ready, set, or how do they say it? Action.
Yes, action.
Right. Cameras are rolling, quiet on the set.
Aaron, I always say that when I record content.
You see what I'm saying?
When I
quiet
say,
on the set.
When I say quiet on the set in this house, they know what that means.
Like, hey.
She said it again.
Don't want to hear anything.
Yeah.
Keep it to a minimum.
Yeah.
So
Parenting Next Gen, episode 10.
What? Wait a minute.
What?
We got to give the people some energy. Like, this is episode number 10.
Yes.
You know, I've been looking at some stuff. And
likewise.
Somebody actually reached out to me and said, hey, you guys have been pretty consistent.
Here we have.
Yeah.
Every single week.
Yeah.
Plus, what, we had like 2 episodes people didn't see.
It's good to have some in the stash. It's good to have some in the stash. Yeah. But they was like, you know what? Y'all have been like super consistent with this. Phenomenal job. I looked at some analytics today and the views are getting up there.
Yeah.
Right? Still got to get the subscribers up. Hey, look, if you're watching, if you're joining us, please, please, please like, share, and subscribe. Subscribe to the channel. Don't miss any new episodes. We drop these weekly. So, and we're on episode 10.
10.
Like,
I was waiting for this 10. Moment. It hasn't hit me yet.
No, listen, you were super excited about 10.
Yes, because now we're the double digits.
Right.
We're consistent doing the thing.
So, like, what does that mean to you, though? Like, starting pretty much from the ground up with this, having the idea, now 10 episodes in, like, what does this, like, really mean to you?
Yeah, it's follow through. And I know they're watching. My kids are watching. They know it's part of the rhythm. It's part of the routine.
Right.
So, one, it sounds cheesy, but I'm leading them by example. Like, oh, she set out to do this. They're doing the thing. Like, they're seeing us do the thing.
Definitely leading by example.
Yeah.
Definitely leading by example.
But I think it's also the commitment, dedication to the people, knowing that this subject matter, although it's not, I'm not an expert at it. Hey, we're having the conversation that many parents would have had.
Absolutely. I agree.
How about for you?
You know, being that it was an idea, got involved, did the class, now the show, episode 10 is, I'm ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
Because when you see something that you create, when it starts to form into the idea that you had about it,
mm-hmm.
you're like, man, this is, I can do this.
Especially as we're making tweaks and
everything.
Figuring it out.
Just coming up with it, the ideas that are being passed around with it. It's like, man, I could really do this.
Because we can.
Yeah. And to see the impact that it's having on people, especially when you go out and tell people about it and you're at these networking events and they're like, oh, I like that.
Yeah, just the title in and of itself.
Right.
It just calls attention. You know what called my attention? I was looking at stats as well. I like to look at the demographic, the age, and the gender.
Right. What are you seeing?
About 50-50 men and women.
Okay.
So that means it's not just women watching, just moms. Not just that, it's both of y'all are really interested in this dynamic and what we're talking about here. And kind of that kind of gets to me a little bit. Good way.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A shout out to the dads. Shout out to the moms. Shout out to the parents.
Yes.
Because, again, I think that is super important that both parties are watching.
Yes.
Because now, because we don't know what they're taking away from it.
Right.
Right. I could be taking away something different than you are, but
yes.
Together we can come with something that impacts, again, the child.
Yes. And I think I had told you when I was doing the class that I felt the one piece that was missing was the male component in, like, being able to reach dads. And listen, I'm not a dad. All I can do is talk about motherhood.
Not a mom.
Yeah.
Shout out to the moms, though.
Yeah. But 50-50 across the board. I was pretty impressed.
Oh, absolutely. I like it. You know, I I posted something the other day because I'm really in this phase of gotta put out more content, gotta put out more content, gotta put out more content. And I did this video that I was reading a devotional, and it's something that I learned about. It said there's no honor in partiality.
What does that mean to you?
Well, I didn't know what it meant at first, and I took the phrase, put it into Google, see if I could get a deeper understanding about it. And what it came up with was,
I'm sorry. I'm surprised you didn't go through AI.
well, I mean, I look at Google as AI, just giving me the
Like
information that I
Google.
need.
I'm sorry. I seen a meme where it says it was like Google watching somebody go off into the sunset holding AI's hand.
Yeah, Google is like they're secondary now. You're going to AI first. But I put it into Google and it came back with there's an excerpt, or because really, again, that came from an excerpt out of the Bible. But what it told me was that Peter expressed that Jesus. It's something that Jesus expressed that there was no honor in partiality, meaning he didn't put one race above another.
Right.
And in that, I thought about parenting, like not putting one parent above
Above
another,
the other.
because both of us are just as important in this mission to raise this child.
Yes, and God is an intentional God. He's never going to create, oh, only meant to be with mom or only meant to be with dad.
Right.
And, it's, we both have our thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And each role is just as important. And then I like what you shared earlier. Hey, look, I'm not a dad. I'm not a mom. But again, together we are parents. So just with that and knowing that, hey, look, both parties are watching this
Yeah.
and taking something away from it, I hope that there's a better dynamic of parents now raising kids.
Yes, and I just said I feel like we can glean off of one another too, because I think a lot of times we tend to want to overstep.
Right.
Like, oh, don't discipline him like that or her like that. Don't. And I'm not saying that we don't need a little correcting in the way we parent, but it enables us to be able to give that parent room to parent.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I
Absolutely.
see that a lot, where it's like, are you giving your spouse or your significant other or your co-parent the space to parent and to make mistakes and
Because
it
we're gonna
within
make a lot of,
them?
gonna make a whole lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But that one or two times that you get it right, it'll be the most important
And they'll catch you off guard. Like, you do listen. You are paying attention.
Shout out to the kids. Shout out to the kids and the grandkids. Love them all.
So what the kids are up to in the summer?
Hopefully staying out of trouble.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Staying out of trouble. The summers just aren't like they used to be.
No.
The camps aren't camping as they used to be, right? You kind of look forward to those things. Kind of look forward to doing the outings, going swimming, all those different.
Trip to the grandparents is not happening this
Oh,
year.
definitely not. Look, much less. Look, you call your grandparents on the phone. Much less do you want to go out there and spend the summer with them.
No, it's needed though.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we're losing that a little bit. It's a little bit
It's a different time. Different time. Different time.
kind of crazy.
Well, we
But
got a great show lined up for you guys today.
it's number 10.
It is episode number
10.
10. Episode 10. Hey, look. Big congratulations to the people that have been staying in tune with us, that have been following us on this journey. Again, this is just as much exciting for it is us, and I hope that it is for you as well. And
Listen, shout out to the OGs. There's quite a few of you who have been here since day
day
one.
one. Now, matter of fact, even back further than that, they was
Since
in
it
the
was a bunch,
class.
yes.
They was in the class. And they've been following this journey and staying tapped in. So shout out to you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And all the feedback. I love one of the comments in the videos. I don't know if you, I read off of them.
Oh, I'll be looking. I'll be looking.
They said, thank you for listening and getting rid of the chirp.
Hey, the chirp, man. I was, hey, look, I had the chirp tuned out. I wasn't even paying attention.
Don't be people crazy. Yeah. Don't be crazy.
As you can see, background changes, right? We're shooting from different areas just to bring that more lifelike vibe to you guys. So hopefully you enjoy this as much as we enjoy bringing it to you.
Hey, that did a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, you know who I am. I'm Andre.
And I'm Noed.
And we are the hosts of the Parenting Next Gen show where... You want to say it? You want to say it?
No.
I feel like you want to say it.
No, I don't.
Okay.
The last part. Okay. Okay. Working on it.
Well, we're helping parents build confidence to strengthen their relationships.
One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time. And again, we're so happy to have you here with us. We got a great show lined up for you here on episode 10 today. Yes, yes. So excited. So excited. Hey, look, definitely ready to get into it.
Let's do it.
I think some good topics here on the board.
We got a board, guys.
Yes.
We got a board.
Got to have some type of organization. Got to keep some structure to the show. Make sure we're giving you guys immense value. And we're talking about things that are relatable.
Yeah.
That you're going through right now. And yeah. I can look at one or two of those, well, actually three of those topics right now that you're definitely probably going to be interested in.
I think I'm going to post a picture of the board so they have a visual context for what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And again, if you have any topics that you would like to hear discussed here, we're open. Put them in the comments, you know, shoot us a message, whatever, and we'll definitely make sure that we get them on for you and give our opinions on those. So definitely do that.
Let's do it. You ready?
You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you sure? This is episode 10 now. You can't be half-stepping. It's episode 10. We got to get the people something.
All right, let's do it.
They need this. So are we going to play a round robin here? Or like, you got something that you want to start off with?
Well, go ahead.
Because ladies first now. This episode 10.
Oh,
ladies
you know,
first.
Calling my attention is number two. When do you stop seeking to make your parents proud?
That's a good question. Have you ever been that child though, like everything you did, it was the intention of making your parents proud?
Not with the intention of making them proud, but at some point within that thing, I wonder, what do they think? Are they proud?
What was the last thing that you did that you said, you know what, I hope this makes them proud? Or
this
right here?
Yeah, I mean, when I tell you, even every little thing, I'm not doing it to make proud. But, you know, as I'm sharing, like, oh, I wonder what they think or if they're proud or whatever. I don't think that ever goes away.
Is there a certain response that you get that makes you know? Because, like, are they coming out and say, hey, look, you know what? I'm proud of what you're doing. Or is it like a certain emotion that you're kind of looking for? Like, oh, okay, they proud of me. Because
I'm not looking for a certain kind of emotion, but they have a tell. Like, they'll start sharing, or especially mom, when she talks to other people, she'll say, oh, my daughter does this or does that. I'm like, okay. She wouldn't necessarily tell me, but,
right.
Or she'll say, which this is how I know she was proud. She's like, would you like to do a podcast sometime, an episode of something? I'm like, okay.
Mom asked you to do a podcast?
Yeah. She's like, do you want to do an episode of something, record something together? And I'm like, okay, that means she likes it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what kind of podcast would you and mom?
Oh, break down the word. Listen, she's a theologian like me. That's where I get it from.
Okay.
The Bible nerdiness and looking up historical facts, that's I get that from mom.
Got it. Okay. Shout out to moms.
She boards books just like I do.
Hey, look, turn the camera on, set the mic up.
Yeah.
Let's get busy.
Yeah.
Let's get busy.
But so, I don't think that ever goes away. I think a part of us want our parents to be proud in some capacity. But I don't know if in a way it's like maybe I let them down as a child. I know I did. And maybe that's like a way to make up for it.
How do you know though?
I don't know. You just kind of have to evaluate yourself. Just kind of analyzing.
I mean, you said that you feel like you let them down at some point.
Yes.
But how do you know that you let them down?
I don't know. It's the feeling that I have. They have never said I'm disappointed, but it's like,
So, with you being a parent now, do you think your kids feel like they have let you down?
No.
They don't feel like they have?
No.
Okay.
Because I tell them, you have, I'm proud of you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have expectations of them like that, per se.
So with yours though, like your mom and dad never told you they were proud of you?
They've had moments. They haven't said the word proud.
So no part in your growing up did they ever say, you know what, I'm proud of you.
It's not a Latino thing to do, but okay.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. That's a cultural thing. I didn't know. I didn't know. That's
Gotcha.
why I'm asking.
Yeah. But you just know, like, they'll say things like, you're the one that I have to, you know, to worry about the least. So I know you've got it. I know you're strong. I know you're good. Okay. That's how I know. And then the bragging to the people. They brag to people.
Which is, I guess I'm asking the question because when you expressed about the kids, you said, hey, look, because I tell them they know. You knew, but you still felt disappointed.
Yes.
So how do you know that they don't?
I don't, I guess.
Right.
It is an assumption.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
So.
I guess I have expectations on how I should be as a daughter.
Right. And I think we have expectations as parents, even though, you know, it's real cliche to say, you know, I want the best for my, right?
What
But
is the best?
what is the best, right? Exactly. Or what do they think is the best? And what are their expectations for us?
Yeah, I think I know what some of the expectations are. I know I haven't lived up to them. Sorry.
This is good though. This is good. This is what we do on episode 10. We get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
All right? We get real about this.
So I think in the expectations that I think that they have, knowing that I haven't met them, maybe that's why I seek to make them proud.
When you say you haven't met what? Their expectations?
The presumed or the alleged or suspected expectation.
Okay. Has that ever been talked about
No.
though? No? So
No.
you're going blind right now.
It's just the little hints that I
You're
can't
going
explain it.
blind right now.
I'm not, but I don't live my life to make them proud. That's completely different. There's only one person that, and it may sound cliche, but it is my life's devotion. There's only one parent I need to make proud. You already know. I'm a daddy's girl, and that's my heavenly father.
Understood. Understood.
Ooh. Sorry, I went there.
Not a problem. You know, I think there are many viewers that are watching that relate, have the same notion of, hey, it's the only person that I need to make proud. And, you know, for that, everything just falls in line where everything else just kind of trickles down. So I get that.
Yeah. It's just when you are so unequivocally in love with him and you heal, because we all have parent wounds in some capacity, I think. But when you allow yourself to heal as a child in his presence and in your walk with him, you just learn to be a better child and a better parent. More merciful, more graceful, and that's the parent I want to make proud. We've talked about this. You said you wanted to be poured out.
Yeah, but that was in different retrospect to this question,
Yeah.
though. Me, I take a different stance on it. You know, my intention is to make them proud. And, you know, by me doing that, in turn, I make him proud because he entrusted me with them. And they are his.
Okay, hold on. So you make them proud. So the byproduct is you make God proud because he assigned you to your parents. Think I get
He assigned me as their parents.
Oh, so the kids.
Right.
So you lost me. I thought you were talking about your parents.
He assigned me as their parents.
That's true.
Because they could have had, and he could have gave them to anybody else. So for that reason, my intention is to make him proud. Because to me, it's making him proud that, hey, I trusted you with something and you took care of it. You nurtured it and you brought it to fruition. Or you brought it to life and did all the things that I entrusted you to do with it.
So your motive really is to make your kids proud first? Okay. Versus your parents.
The byproduct is me making God proud.
Yeah.
Because I can make him proud and be a terrible father.
No, that does not coexist.
Okay. I mean, again.
How are you going to make God proud and be a terrible father?
Well, if I'm just focusing on him, and I'm not focusing on, hey, here's what I entrusted you to do with
these. I'm focusing on him. Because I don't think those can coexist. When you focus on God, you make him proud. That means you are relationally connected to him, right? Right? That means you follow his voice. And if you're being a terrible father, he's going to call you out on it. He's going to correct you and discipline you. Thereby, he's not going to be proud of you if you're being a terrible father.
So, again, that doesn't make sense of what you just said as far as me making my intention to make my kids proud, because that's still following in that lines of what he wants me to do.
Yeah, but whatever. I think the first motive should be to make him proud.
But is that not making him proud if he positioned me to be a parent for his kids?
Yeah.
So is that not making him proud?
It is. So see what you're mixing.
But that's the first motive.
There's two points here we're mixing up.
Well, it can't be, because you said. You said the first motive should be making him proud. So if I'm being the parent he's entrusted me to be to take care of the kids he's entrusted me with, that's making him proud.
Yes. Not necessarily the kids proud, at least not yet. They won't appreciate you till they become parents.
I appreciated my mom well before I became a parent.
That's different.
I appreciate my dad, even in the midst of his absence.
But did you understand that appreciation?
Do you understand it completely now?
I think I'm getting to. Not yet.
So you don't. There's never a point when you completely understand it.
True.
So even as a kid, hey, you understand appreciation. Mm-hmm. You don't know it to full capacity.
Yeah.
Even as an adult, hey, I appreciate, but I don't know the full extent of appreciation.
I agree. I mean, we're never really be in their shoes. With that said, I still don't agree that God can be proud of you as you're being a terrible parent.
Well, again, your focus is your focus. And some people, and again, I'm not calling anybody out here, but some people use that as, oh, well, I'm just focused on it. Okay, well, what about everything else in your life?
Well, you know what? You know me, I like to break down terminology, my wordsmith. Let's talk about what define focus. Because some people think that means all ministry work. Some people may think that, you know what? Family's my first ministry. That's still me focusing on God by taking care of my family. What is focus to you?
Focus is whatever that I am giving my full time and attention to.
Okay.
That's where my focus lies.
Okay.
Just like you can't multi-focus. That's why they tell you don't text and drive. Because you can't focus on what you're trying to text and look at what's happening on the road.
No, you do it anyway.
Even though we do it anyway, because that's what we lie to ourselves, that we can. Even though we can't, which is why it's the result of the most accidents in the world.
And I would know.
You can't multi-focus. So again, whatever your focus is, that's what you're giving your time and attention to.
But I do want to speak to the audience, because especially our church people, because I went through that. You're growing up in ministry and you think that, well, you know what? I'm going to be at the church 7 days a week in ministry. I'm focused on the Lord. But your family then gets neglected. Is that you really focusing on the Lord? If you're neglecting your family? Because your family is your first ministry. And sometimes we feel bad, like, hey, you know, I got to tend to the Lord stuff. I've had to create that balance. pare back. Stop saying yes to less things and making time for them.
I totally agree, which is what I was just referencing. And hey, I'm focused on Lord, but being a crappy dad because, hey, I'm focused in on all the things I think God wants. I got to be here 7 days a week. I got to be doing the ministry thing. I got to be doing this.
You do know that ministry does not equate the Lord, right?
Well, I do know that, but we're not talking about me in reference.
Okay.
Because I know that.
We're the ones having the conversation.
I'm talking about the people that don't know that.
Okay, so people, focusing on the Lord does not equate to ministry.
Right.
What's that?
But again, I'm saying what you're saying, because you just said, hey, well, you at the church 7 days a week and you're not focusing the time on your family. I'm talking to the people. Right. So that's what I'm saying. I'm talking to the people. You keep trying to put it back on me. I'm talking to what you're talking. Yeah.
Well, we watch the tapes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
See, we didn't know we were going to be debating.
Oh, this
is so tense.
Sometimes it gets a little controversial.
And that's
right?
Okay.
Difference of opinion. That's okay. That's as parents, okay. That happens.
But I really do feel as I'm sitting here, like guys talking to somebody, pair back in ministry. You know, I've heard Tim Ross, you can't neglect your bride for the sake of taking care of his bride. God's got his bride. He got his kids. You take care of yours. To pair back. That's it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some people have this hierarchy, right? It's like, who's it? God, family, God.
God, spouse, children.
God, spouse, children. Right?
And that self. Somewhere in there.
You know, again, I'm not saying that that's a wrong hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody follows that hierarchy. And I've seen this before, that if you don't follow that hierarchy, you're almost frowned upon. You're shunned because you don't follow that hierarchy. Why do you think that is?
People are judgy. But we learned when with the conference we went to, what was that, April? There's a different model now. It's put Jesus at the center, and then you'll have different sections of your life. Am I me as a parent, am I being the best parent that I can be with Jesus at the center of that? Am I being the best spouse that I can be with Jesus at the center of that? And all it means is, hey, know and acknowledge you can't do this all by yourself in your own wisdom and your own understanding.
I think it just comes down to what you and him believe, because again, you're going to think that you're being the best you can be. That doesn't necessarily think that the person, the spouse, is going to think that you're being the best you can be.
That's why you have temperature check.
Yeah. But again, I think this is where the lines get crossed, because, hey, you can think you're being the best parent that you're supposed to be, but your kids don't.
No, that's why we talked about this. Every so often, we check in the report card. How am I doing as a parent? They're dead honest about it. Temperature check.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gotta have those. Gotta have those.
Can you imagine if we were to do, like, if we would have gotten to do that growing up with our parents?
What, temperature checks?
Yeah, no, like, being able to grade them on the go as we go along.
Oh, I think it would have been. I don't know how the response would have played out, right? Because I think it would have been temperature checks when we were upset. Like, man, I couldn't do that. But you know what? Mom, giving you a tough. But you don't know how to parent because I couldn't go and do this, or you didn't buy me. So I think that would have led to some other things. So
yeah, I don't know that I would have been honest.
My point exactly. Because it would have been more emotional driven.
More like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I'm gonna pay for this later.
Right, Right. Or I didn't get what I wanted.
Oh, you didn't think I was that kind of parent, huh? Yeah.
So, but I also think that, you know, hey, it's something that will keep you on your toes and kind of let you know where you are.
That's true.
Right. And what you might need to work on. And then I think it opens up the conversation as well.
Yeah.
Like, well, why did you grade me with that?
Yeah.
Why do you think I deserve that?
But also the mindset and the spirit that of humility that you show up with.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, are you ready to listen to the actual feedback?
Now that's the real question. Because look, you don't even like people to judge you now. You have your kids judge you. Oh, man.
But judging and feedback is different.
Listen.
Because judging can come from a place of criticism. Feedback is, hey, I wish you improved this.
And they both can come from a place of emotion.
I mean, yeah, we're emotional beings.
Right. So, again, they
come. That's not a debate.
Just debate if I'm just giving my opinion.
You're like, they're both emotional. Okay.
So, are you taking that as a debate? Because, again, difference of opinion.
Okay.
Just a difference of opinion. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, criticism and feedback.
I think, again, there is a correlation because criticism, when you hear criticism, you're thinking like, okay, somebody's demeaning me. They're talking down to me. They're criticizing something about me, right? Feedback, yes, given. But again, they're both emotional. The response to both are emotional. Now, how you receive it, I think it makes it different as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because somebody can be criticizing you, but you can take that as honest, solid feedback.
Those criticism and feedback is not the same thing.
Okay, again, difference of opinion.
Okay.
So if I'm criticizing you, so if I say, hey, you know what? That food that you cooked was nasty. You would take that as criticism. Yes or no?
It can be, yeah.
Okay, but that's still feedback. I just didn't say it in the way of.
That's not feedback.
So let me if you can't cook. If
allow me to explain it to the people.
Well, let me land. Because if you can't cook,
okay,
and we both know you can't cook, and I say, hey, that food that you cooked last night was nasty, you took it as criticism, but it can also be feedback like, okay, well, maybe I need to learn. Because we already have established that you can't cook.
So in this particular, okay, so in this particular scenario, it's just in general you can't cook? Or that particular meal was bad. I'm just trying to create context for the scenario. The stage.
I said okay. We both know that you can't cook.
So this is a human that cannot cook.
A person that cannot cook.
Okay.
We've established that already.
Okay.
You try to cook something, and I say, hey, look, what you made the other night, that was nasty. Mm-hmm. You take it as criticism, but that can also still be feedback. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to take some cooking, or maybe I need to learn. I just may have not, I didn't say it in that manner, but to me, it was me giving you feedback.
Okay. I think that both feedback and criticism derive from the same place. Is you noticing something is not right, or you perceive something is not right. In this case, i.e., the food is nasty. Food don't taste good. Criticism just says, that's nasty. You're not providing solutions. You're not remediating anything. Feedback says, hey, but you know what? I think you could have used a little bit less salt. Maybe cook it a little bit longer. Would you like to cook some time together? It provides a way to improve. Criticism doesn't do that.
So that's the difference.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I mean, when you get feedback at a place of work, it's, hey, you maybe didn't meet these metrics, but let's create a plan to improve them. Same thing with the kids. You're not meeting these grades, but let's create a plan to improve your grades.
So
versus you are being a dumb child this semester, or you're being lazy.
So what's the feedback for being lazy?
All right, let's talk about your schedule. What's leading you there?
Okay.
How can we improve? Or do we need to hire a tutor? Do we need to wake up earlier? Do we need to map out an agenda?
Okay.
Let's get to the root of the problem. Let's set up a time frame Let's try this for the next 2 weeks. We'll circle back.
There we go.
Criticism just kind of can break a spirit. Just be like, this is what's out of place, and that's it. You can do anything with that.
I totally agree. And there you go. Feedback and criticism. The separation between the two.
Yeah. You cool? I'm sorry. I came in a little spicy today.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's episode 10.
I'm acting brand new, I guess.
Listen.
You did say last week you're trying to get me off the show. Here we are.
I think it just brings a little bit more liveliness to the show.
You think so?
I mean, the people would know.
If they start unsubscribing, now we know why.
The people. Well, why do you think they would unsubscribe?
Don't unsubscribe. Please don't.
Yeah, but why would you think so?
Subscribe up to Spencer. They're not going to. They're not going to because their parents. They need this.
And these conversations happen as parents. Don't always agree on everything.
No.
Sometimes you got a difference of opinion. Sometimes you look at things from a different lens.
Yeah. And I think that lens sometimes is how I was raised.
What do you mean?
Have you ever? Because I've heard parents say, well, my mom or dad did this and I turned out just fine.
I've heard that.
And then it's like, but no, I grew up like this and I turned out just fine.
So what do you think about that phrase or what about that phrase just says, you know what, let's do away with it?
My first question after that is, did you
turn out
just fine?
Right.
Or you're just fine. What did it take for you to get there? Overcoming certain traumas and triggers? Is that just fine? Yeah.
I've heard the phrase, you know, many times, and I probably would ask the same question, you know, like, did you turn out, or what makes you think that you turned out just fine as a result of kind of going through that? Mm-hmm. I think it really comes down to just how you look at things. We all put ourselves in a place of comfort. Mm-hmm. And when someone says, well, I was raised this way, but I turned out just fine. Just fine for your life and whatever that looks like for you. That's really why that phrase, it doesn't resonate with me, because my life isn't that.
No.
So you're turning out just fine has no bearing on what I'm looking at or where I'm trying to go. Mm-hmm. So.
Ooh, you know where I've heard that phrase too? When parents first become parents, their grandparents will try not old methods, but they won't give room to their child to be a parent and figure it out.
They step in and take over.
But I did that with you and you turned out just fine.
It's a different time, Grandma. Different time. Different time.
But I've raised three kids, so I'm just kidding.
I think some of the same values still apply.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're holding on to things, just like we hold on to trauma. We're still holding on to what we believe worked. Huh. But like I said, it was just different time. Different time. Different time. Yeah. But that was a good question, though. When do you stop seeking to make your parents proud?
When do you think that stops?
I don't think it ever stops. For me personally, even the age that I am right now, I still look to make my mom proud.
We still want to be the fair child. Got the kudos, brownie points.
I like my position being the middle child. I that never really had the bearing on why I wanted to make her proud. For me, it was just my way of giving back.
Okay.
Because when you think about it, and I'm sure everybody's talked about this before, man, I want to pay my parents back for all they did for me. I want to give them the word. I want to do this. I want to do that.
Make their sacrifice worthwhile.
Exactly. So for me, the more I can continue to make you proud, that's my way of paying that back or paying that forward to you.
Why do you think we're like that? Especially when they don't ask us to pay them back.
Well, you just kind of think about that from your own perspective. Somebody in your life has helped you. Say, hey, look, you don't need to give me nothing back. But in your heart, you like, man, I just got to give them something back. I got to pay them back.
You want to do something.
Yeah, you want to do something. Express it's just human nature.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that ever leaves you.
Mm-mm.
You just find different ways to now do it. Because I think in the beginning, it might look monetary. Like, okay, I want to make them proud by giving them this. Or, you know, as you go later in life, you look at just different ways of being able to do that and make your parents proud.
Yeah, my grandma has or had this saying, I don't know if she still says it. She's like, you don't pay favors with money, you pay favors with favors. So that meant that somebody does something for you, you don't pay them back with money. You cook for them, or you maybe do pay the favor back the next time. You pay a favor with a favor. That's a problem.
I recently had a conversation with my dad, and we talked for a good little while, and that's
rare for you. Well, for both of you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And good conversation. You know, we kind of, you know, deep dived in some things. It wasn't anything like personal stuff or like emotional stuff. We were just kind of talking about life and how things were going in both of our lives. And after that conversation, he said that. He's like, "No, son, I'm proud of you." And that right there, to me, was, hey, a way to pay back the time missed.
I bet.
So
your heart melted, like to hear those words.
It was good, and I've heard it before from him. You know, as recently as us rebuilding our relationship, but I think it was just a good means for me, because like I said, want to be able to pay something back, and to me, having that conversation with him, because my dad don't really talk like that. And he said that he was like, you know, I don't really. And I say that too to people, like, yo, I don't sit on the phone and talk no long time. That's just not my thing.
Yeah.
So for us to do that with each other.
Yeah, it's huge.
It was big.
You did say you don't talk a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I got.
I'm telling you, you got notes lately. And you got these phone calls. Like, okay.
I'm working on myself, because I have this social battery that I pretty much talk for a living. I'm talking all day.
All day.
And
you want solitude.
Oh my goodness. The peaceful quietness is like my solitude. And there's times where I just don't want to talk at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, because the way my life is set up, people want to talk to me.
Yeah. So when you wake up in the morning, do you just not say anything?
When I wake up in the morning, it's usually like some instrumental music.
Yeah.
No words.
But you're not talking.
I'm not talking. I'm not talking. Because I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Because I got to charge up that social battery to take on the world. Depending on what day it is, I might talk more than usual from yesterday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that little bit of time that I got in the morning, complete silence.
Nice.
Complete silence.
It's very needed.
But since we're on this track of parents, right, and making them proud, I actually like this next question. Do parents still give their kids allowance?
I don't know. I think some do.
Yeah. Do you?
No.
No?
I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every so often, I will give them something. Especially if they're going out with friends or things like that. But just say...
Is that allowance, though? Like, no. If they're going out with friends,
no.
I'm like, hey, look.
That's what I'm saying. I used to. I don't anymore. Because it's almost like this expectation of, well, now you got to pay me to contribute in the home. And I'm like, when I started to see that that was the mindset, like, oh, you can't do this or contribute, or if you see something out of place, you're not taking care of it because you got to be paid. That's not what I get paid for now. So I did away with allowances, and we talked about just like, this is our home and we ought to care for one another. It's showing them how to serve people.
Right.
When you love, you serve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you give allowances?
I don't.
No?
I don't. Because, and very similar to what you just said, I don't reward for good behavior.
You said that.
Yeah. I don't. I just, it doesn't make sense to me.
You're just out of beats. You don't reward.
I don't reward good behavior because this is what you're supposed to do. Because even if you weren't getting paid, would you not do it? Mm. Would you not be good?
But that's what I'm saying. If you didn't get paid and then you assign these chores, why do you only have to stick to those chores? If you see something outside of your assigned chores, you see the need and help out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I've always kind of taken that stance. And I don't even really remember getting allowance myself, which is why I wanted to go out and create my own allowance. Had a grass cutting business at like 12. I'm cutting the neighbor's yards in our where we lived at. So, because I wasn't getting an allowance.
Yeah.
And my kids never showed any concern regarding it. Yes, they asked for it. And every now and then I might, you know, give
a little something. I mean, that's my ask.
Yeah.
But now that I ask for money, it's like, can you order me this?
Oh, yeah. It's a different time now. Hey, yeah. Mom, I need a DoorDash. Like, hey, what's up? I'm hungry.
Give me a Chipotle bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm about to go to the mall. Slide me something real quick.
So for parents who do allowance, what do you think is an acceptable amount? Because I have heard different amounts, and some amounts I'm like, oh. Okay.
Crazy. 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 Like, you give your kid more than your job give you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Acceptable amount?
I mean, I know it varies by family and their means or whatever.
Well, I would think it would come down to what are you giving the allowance for? So, if you're giving allowance based on chores, then how much would you structure the chore? Like, if it's to take out the trash, wash the dishes, clean your room, how much is that worth to you?
Versus, like, you know, go detail the cars or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
If you're giving allowance for, and I've seen people do this, good grades.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's crazy to me. Should be doing that anyway. But if you get allowance for good grades, what is it? What is an A worth to you? What is, you know?
Yeah. So when I was married to their dad, he would give them $20 an A.
Okay. That's a good incentive. What? How old were they at the time?
Maybe 7, 8.
Okay. See, that's a good incentive.
That's a lot of money for
exactly.
their age.
That's why I said that's a good incentive.
Yeah.
And it'll spark something to you'll go after that every time.
Man. Yeah.
You know, so again, I just think it's based on what the allowance is covering. And then you determine a price for that.
What about the parents? It has nothing to do with chores. This is just your little stimulus check every day, every month
man,
on the dot.
Kids getting a stimmy?
A stimmy.
Teenagers is getting a stimmy?
It's wild.
Oh, man, that is wild. I can't really put a number on that.
Insane, right?
I mean, I've heard different things about what some kids get. Because I've listened to what my kids have said about other kids and their household and what they get.
Yeah, the kids, I forgot which one had a friend that would get about $200 a month.
Yeah. Now, I think it also depends on situation, because some of the situations where it's a co-parent situation, the child is living with mother or the father or whatever, and somebody's paying child support. So that child support money might, hey,
Oh, okay.
I'm a,
Do we need context to
right. So I'm a, you know, let's just say child support is $600. Hey, I'm gonna give you two. I'm gonna keep four.
Okay.
So I mean, I've heard situations like that. Again, I don't know, 15, 16, what you doing with $200 a month?
Shoes, chipotles, but
Because
yeah.
with that, now we have to be better stewards of how to take care of this money.
Yes.
What you should be investing in it to, or putting it up
To the
for, whatever
age.
the case.
It starts at home. Starts
Absolutely.
young.
Absolutely.
But I'm curious, do y'all hand out allowances? Like, what is your you guys' stance on it?
That's a great
And how
question.
much?
Please let us know in the comments. If you're giving out allowance, what are they doing for the allowance?
Yeah.
What's their job?
And do you have a, because there's always in the family, there's always the spender.
Oh, yeah.
There's always the kid who hoards money.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually the youngest kid who like don't say anything.
They got a little stash. You're like,
Yeah.
where you getting all this money from? Oh,
Don't
I've
worry
been
about
getting this from grandma for
it.
6 years.
It's
Yeah. So
like
I
grandparent money is different.
very different.
Very different.
Very different. Because that was the reason I wanted to go there for the summer. Like, we going to grandma's house? Yeah, because I know I'm gonna come back home
With something.
with something.
And it's like at this point, why do we have to be so secretive about it? I know you're handing them money and I'm okay with it, but why do we still have to be hush hush about it?
Well, here's the reason. Your grandma ever folded the money up in her
Yes.
hand and gave it to you?
Yes.
That's what that's the secret. Like, oh baby, take this. Just go home, go tell your mom.
Yeah.
Tell your mom.
But okay, but what I'm saying is, if I know, like everything's cool, why do we have to be secretive about it?
Well,
Is it just tradition?
it might be. It really might be tradition.
Yeah.
'Cause look, the grandparents always want to do something for the kids.
That's true.
And sometimes the parents be like, don't do nothing else. Don't give them nothing else. Right? 'Cause they ain't been good. Don't give them nothing. Oh, baby, just take this.
No.
This is balled up in grandma's
No.
hand. Just go home, take
See, I love to see them get all that stuff.
it. Yep.
Because I know the parent, the grandparents just love that. They just love it.
I think it's, you know, it keeps them fulfilled, because as a grandparent, you're not with them all the time.
Yeah.
You're not even with,
You'll be there soon because yours are babies, right?
well, they're one. Well, I guess
Yeah.
you can still consider that
Well,
as
time flew.
babies. Yeah, time is flying. Time is definitely flying. But yeah, I will be there, and I just know me. I just know me. They ask, you got it.
You're not gonna say no?
I listen, I
It's
can't.
different. It's the difference.
I can't. You know,
It's
I'm
different.
just, yeah, I can't. 'Cause I watch my brother, my older brother, and he has two grandkids. And man, he's just like putty. He's just like putty when they come around.
Like a side of him you don't know
Like,
really see.
and I didn't know who that was for a little while. I'm like, who is this guy? Yeah, he's just like putty, especially with the girl. He has a granddaughter,
I bet.
and she is just, yeah, anything she asks,
She gets.
she gets.
So have you decided, are you going to be called grandpa? Like, what are you going to be called?
You know, I still haven't really set on a name. I'm gonna throw a name out there
Just to see.
just to see how they take to it, but
Well, before they start talking, you better decide.
well, I'm gonna see what they say as well, and then we'll kind of figure it out.
Figure it
We'll
out.
kind of figure it out. But I just hear so many different things, and I mean, pop sounds
You
cool.
ready for that? Like to hear them call you that?
As I move throughout my days,
Yeah.
and I see the gray starting to gray a little
Yeah.
bit, I feel like I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. The grays are starting to gray a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it might be time. It might be time. So pop, pop. Pop, pop. Pop, pop. Oh, it is.
Cute.
Yeah. But that last question on there, because we've really been, and look, this is episode 10, man. So we, you know, hope you guys are enjoying this thus far, because we are.
Yes.
We're getting into the weeds here. We're getting into the weeds. Definitely a great show. But that last question up there, it was kind of in reference to the first two we talked about. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you have thoughts about it?
You said it had to do, I'm trying to find a correlation.
Okay. Well, I'm just meaning of where I got those from.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were all in court from a conversation that I saw. And I was like, wow, these are some good questions.
Okay.
These are some good questions.
Of course, there's always thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the thought provoker. At least that's what they coined me as. The thought provoker.
Thought provoker.
Yeah. What is it? Flow like water?
Water walker.
Water walker. There it is. Flow like water. Water
walker. Water walker.
Yeah. So
the audacious water message.
I like how you talk about it. I like how you talk about it.
Okay, so
how much parent involvement do you feel you should have in your child's relationships?
All right, let's set the stage. What age range are we talking about?
Well, I would assume the age that they can have a relationship.
And you've had the question. You've had an opportunity to sit with the question. So as I ponder and meditate on what my response could possibly be, please enlighten us with your response.
So this actually was something that, you know, I did think about, because I think there should be a 50-50 involvement in your child's relationships, especially now in today's time, because I believe kids are more savvy with sneaking around and being influenced by certain things, stuff they might see on social media. So you definitely want to have a pulse on those things. Not to say that your child is doing those things, but you still want to have a pulse to see, like, well, what's your engagement with your friends? Or what's your engagement in the relationship? And what do you even think about the relationship?
Yeah.
What are some of the points of why you wanted to be in a relationship in the first place? And, you know, I was just speaking with somebody about a situation that they had with their child. And what happened was there was let me see how I want to really say this. There was some involvement between child and a significant other. So child was in a relationship, and they were intimate.
The kids?
The kids were intimate.
Oof.
Some pictures were taken.
Oof.
And kept in a phone.
Oof. The phone, a lot to unwrap.
What better place to unwrap it than here? The kids were intimate. The phone was found by the parent. The parent saw the picture. And now we got to talk about it.
Talk about it. I'm sure tables were flipped.
Well, the tables weren't flipped.
They were?
But there was some disappointment.
Pearls were clutched?
There was some disappointment. And because as a parent, when you're introduced to that, you don't really know which way to go. Your first emotion is you're angry, and you want some type of justification, which is what this parent did.
Did I rape? Did I not raise you right? And start questioning everything.
Everything.
How long has this been going on? What do I not
Everything.
know about?
So I think having an understanding of, like I said, that involvement to where I got a pulse on, because I can't leave anything to chance. Listen, kids are kids. The world is way more developed now in this age than it was when we were coming up.
Yes.
They have access to way
Lots.
more things.
Exposure.
So I can't be naive to think that, oh, well, not my kid. I can't be naive to that. So, which means my involvement should be that much more in their relationships. If I know, hey, you're in a relationship with somebody.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's just kind of my thoughts on that. And haven't been on top of that as much as I should have been in the beginning stages, but now I am, because we have those conversations. I talk to my 14-year-old. Hey, like, what's your thoughts on girls? Like, is any girls at school like you? Like, who you talking to when you at
I
home?
mean, the
Like,
way you described how the girls were cheering him on,
I gotta ask. I
yes.
need to know. I need to know.
Did you ask?
Of course.
But he's popular.
Listen, and I like that for him.
I bet you
I
do.
like that for him. Hey, look, get your popularity on. Smooth, cool, calm, and collect. Hey, yeah, I like that for him.
Well, I've had to navigate through this
You have a daughter
and a son.
and a son.
It really comes down to, okay, so now you're with somebody. I'm gonna get to know them. Understand their dynamic at home, who do they live with, and they hang out with us, and and every so often, well, they just do this naturally. They're on FaceTime and say hi to so and so,
Let's put you right in the camp.
and then they'll leave me with this child on FaceTime while they do whatever. I'm like, oh, how you doing? How's school? So you,
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Do you know the person?
it's the whoever they're in a relationship with, or they do
Right,
that with their
like,
friends too.
okay.
Remember, I'm like the mom, that mom. So,
So are they immediately bringing them over here and
no.
introducing you right off bat?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just us kids. But you just kind of get to know them a little bit more. Then it goes, can you give them a ride to church? So I end up being involved anyway. But I pay attention to things like, so no, not everything's gonna be happy butterflies and when are you guys arguing? I'm paying attention to how are they arguing with significant other, because that for me is an opportunity to train to have good conflict resolution in a relationship. Because they're gonna need that when they become an adult. I've called my daughter being snappy and in private, like, hey, let's tone it down.
A boyfriend.
So, I'm doing it in front of the boyfriend, but then like, hey, we want to tone it down, or it's a moment of correction. But not in a bad way. But the point is, you've got to be involved. Keep your ear out. Just pay attention. Be involved and like, how are you guys doing? And if possible, have the other parents involved as well.
It's definitely a
Like,
plus.
dances are coming up. All right, let me talk to his mom or to her dad. One of the like my son's girlfriend, I got the dad's number. Hey, we're picking her up for church. She would probably like. It's communication, so we know where the kids are at, just making sure everything is good. But you just have to be involved.
How was that for you growing up? Was your parents that involved in your relationships?
We talked about this. What dating? You date when you're 35. we just have to like at 18, 19, like, are we allowed to date? We just never talked about it.
What age do you think kids should be?
I don't know. They start liking people young.
Yeah.
Very young.
Because I have. I do a summer camp, and there's a young girl there that was. She may have been 12. She was like, "Yeah, you know, I like this boy, and you know,
you're talking
I
to the my, girl yeah, who had a boyfriend
we're
in kindergarten,
and you know, I gave him my number and you know.
The number. They still swap numbers? I thought they swapped like socials. Did that
just
surprise you?
Sitting back and listening to how she was referencing what was going on between them, like, wow, 12." You have this attraction to boys at 12.
You're talking to the girl who had a boyfriend in kindergarten. Remember Carlos? We talked about this.
Carlos. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Carlos. Carlos was getting. Shout out to Carlos. But yeah.
I'm so young. You see the kids in daycare, like holding hands, fighting for one another in the playground.
Yeah, like, but they don't. I don't think they understand that at that time.
I mean, I understand it, but it's still there.
Yeah, but again, that's
it's insane. So
at 2 and 3,
I don't
look at it
five.
Like I look at it if you're 12 and 13. 12 and 13, 14,
it's different.
Like you have an understanding of what this is.
Yeah.
Because you're Not to say that you're going down this road to do something, but just having the interaction.
Yeah.
Because, again, not to be naive, but the involvement is important because you don't know what your values in your home are one thing, but you don't know what the values are in the other person's home.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be talking about something crazy on the phone. And because you like this person, you're just kind of going with it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the involvement has to be that much more just because of where we are in today's society.
Yeah. And even paying attention to how they interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I've caught one where I'm like, he's got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because...
And you're not welcome back here either.
I never made it here. It's just one of those things where it's, why are you demeaning my child? Why are you calling names? That has to step in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They'll understand. They'll understand. Even if they don't. It's for the best. It's for the best. So, as you know, we just talked about how things are moving like extremely fast in today's world. Things are evolving, you know, quicker than we've probably imagined.
Yes.
And I won't say as of recently, but you know, just in the I'll say in the beginning of the year. You know, we have really been introduced more to AI and saw the capabilities of what's to come.
What's crazy is that it's been around since 2022, 2023, probably sooner.
Yeah.
I've been telling people about this and they all looked at me like I was crazy.
Awesome. Like, I think
sorry,
we,
I had to
we were introduced to AI probably back 2002, 2003. So, again, as things evolve and it's becoming more prevalent, it's becoming that buzzword, ChatGPT, AI, Gemini, all those
different
things.
Now the fight is of which one's the better AI. And
you know, people are just, you know, they put
anything. Always looking for something to fight about.
Got to put something against something, you know, all the time.
Even though I have read about these kids using AI to create other AIs. They create their own chat box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, brilliant. Yeah.
Listen, I cloned myself.
Yeah. You did say that.
I cloned myself. I am super excited about it. It's a little scary, but hey, look, I cloned myself. But with the emergence of AI and what's happening, as we can kind of see what's going on, what do you think are some ways to kind of prepare your kids for AI? Because just like with anything else, it can be used for stuff it shouldn't be used for.
Firstly, immerse yourself, educate yourself, you know, develop yourself in the topic. You don't have to be an ex, you know, subject matter expert, but know enough to know what's going on and what's trending, what's moving. Because if you don't, well, how are you going to guide them? You can't guide them to a place they've never been. Secondly, yes, there are negatives or downsides to everything, but also be open to the possibility of what good can come out, what can be created. Like these kids, and these are science kids I was reading about, creating, you know, more bots for curing diseases and things like that. So there are kids who are using the technology for good. So lack of exposure is not the answer. We have AI and everything. So
Absolutely.
immerse yourself first.
No, I agree. There's a lot out here as far as like different classes and courses that you can take that people are teaching AI, which would make it so much more beneficial because now you're like ahead of the curve.
Yes.
AI is going to be in schools before we know it. There's going to be classes taught about AI in schools. So again, just being ahead of the curve and really, like you said, immersing yourself with these things.
Yeah.
Now you feel a little bit more confident and comfortable about it when you're introduced to these different AI, things that are taking place, because a lot of jobs now are using
Yeah, and be open to change, I would
AI. Oh,
say. Because I hear a
absolutely.
lot of people like, it's going to take jobs, and da, da, da. I mean, I'm sure they said those things about cars, modern tools. I mean, it's just going to evolve.
Absolutely.
So the more you, the
Absolutely.
longer you resist change, further behind you're going to be.
The further behind. And again, the world is going to it's going to go forward rapidly anyway. The time is going to pass. So I mean, it's best to get along, get with the
Ahead
program
of the
while you
curve.
can, instead of being the person, and we like to call them a pier runner. You ever been on the boat and you're leaving out and they don't make it and they
Yep.
land?
And then that's when you get those. I'm not that good with technology.
Lord, look, ain't that the thing we said for 2025? Like,
It's
please get, let's
gone.
get rid of that. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah. I'm not that
That's,
good with technology.
come on. AI is coming. AI is coming.
See?
But I think it's also a benefit to kids because you see a lot more of them. They're forward thinkers. And they're visual people, and just some of the ideas and things that they have is really what's going to help transform the world moving forward. So being able to learn and understand AI and then cope it with the ideas and things that they have, I'm so excited about that possibility.
Just got to give them room
Yeah,
to figure it out
exactly.
instead of trying to put them in a box and just like, well, I grew up just fine without AI.
2025, we're getting rid of that. Getting rid of that.
No, we should
Got
probably put together a
a
series of
list.
yeah.
Definitely.
Things to no longer
We're gonna
say in
look,
2025.
that might be an episode.
Yeah.
Like things that we are getting rid of for 2025.
Maybe the 25th episode, just like.
I like the way you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking. 25th episode. We're coming. Because
Thank
this
you.
is
No longer
episode 10.
doing 20 in 2025.
Come on. Come on.
I gotta
Matter of fact,
cover that.
that the so we might hit the 25th episode before 2025,
Yeah.
isn't it? Good deal. I like that. Yeah. Episode 25, things that
Mean, if
we're
we're doing
getting
the math, yeah, I think so.
rid of. Yeah. So that'll work out just perfect.
We
Just
just have to
perfect.
remember right now.
We do.
We
I'm
need
gonna write it
the AI to remind us of this.
And look, I use AI for a lot of stuff.
Oh,
I am trying to be the AI guy. I am definitely plugged in.
that's kind of catchy.
The AI guy.
Uh-huh.
I like it. We'll write that down too. Yeah,
see all kinds of ideas
always
swirling through,
always just popping off all the time. So, you know, what do you think that we've given parents thus far with these 10 episodes?
I think knowing that they're not alone. Sometimes we go through stuff and like feel like a parent guilt. Talk about it's knowing
that's a thing. I do know that. I do know that.
We've learned that.
Yes, please.
It's knowing that you're not alone. I'm like, oh, other parents are experiencing this. And just like having different conversations, like, oh, I didn't know that. Or I don't know. I think thought provoking conversations, even within the home. And relatability.
That's big too.
What do you think?
So I think we've given them a sense of something to kind of hold on to. Because I don't think parents are having enough conversations within the home or maybe around some of these topics that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think it gives them a sense of something to hold on to. Like, man, I was just thinking about that. Or, you know what? I just dealt with that. I'm so glad that they're talking about it now. So hopefully that is what continues and starts to resonate with more and more parents, that we're having these conversations. And it's starting to stick. Like, you might have watched one or two episodes, or you might have watched all 10. There's a moment where something that we've said has hit home. Maybe pulled at the heartstrings. Maybe it's sitting on your mind and you've been contemplating about it. But whatever it is, it has now led you to start to open the door to talk about things we were talking about before.
The word that keeps coming up is healing. It's like, healing that inner child. And I think somebody commented on it, like, wow, I didn't realize this. Maybe my parents went through that. It's having more empathy and more grace for them.
A little therapy. It's a little therapy.
Just a little. Just
a little therapy.
Just a little. Yeah, it's healing. It's healing a part of us so that we can parent better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's just important on so many levels, because not only for parents, but for grandparents. Because now you get a different dynamic.
Yeah.
One of the things that I like about going to visit my grandmother is talking about the times where she was my age.
Yeah.
And how the world looked. And what she had to go through and things she had to deal with. And just learning about that. Because when you go back and hear about those,
mm-hmm.
not a lot has changed.
No. It's not new under the sun.
Right. A lot has changed.
Yeah.
There's some different dynamics.
Yeah.
But not a lot has changed. So
same nonsense.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
different
man.
Decade.
So being able to, I guess, not so much experience, but kind of couple both worlds, right? The experience that we have in this generation, the now, and then knowing about what was then, because I think I said this before, it's good to have that conversation with your parents to see how they parented or how they were parented.
Yes.
And then even take it a step further. Hey, if your grandparents are still alive and they're still of sound mind and body, right? What do you remember about your parents and how they parented? And I think just knowing that helps you for generations to come, because you know where to, hey, I can see the gaps. What was missing?
Yeah.
What I might not be doing right now.
Or trickled down. Or became a generational pattern.
Exactly. So I could become a better parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope these conversations help do that.
I think so. I mean, even for me, just It allows me to see my parents a little bit more, you know, it's a little bit more empathy
Oh, absolutely.
than I did before.
Absolutely. I think this is also helping me build my relationship with my father.
Yeah.
And helping us strengthen what may have been lost or broken earlier. Now, because we have the time to do so, and we're both willing to do so.
The willing part.
The willing part makes it that much more important, but also that much more fulfilling.
It's crucial.
Because I get something out of that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he does as well.
Yeah.
And then opening the door for him to know his grandkids better.
That part.
Because now they...
Oh, now he's got great grandkids. Isn't that great, wife?
It's crazy. Crazy. But I just love that it doesn't necessarily have to go through me all the time.
Yeah.
He'll call them or they'll call him.
That's...
And they'll have a conversation.
Yes.
So that's what I'm just really most proud of. But again...
Have to put in the work.
Having the conversations. One conversation at a time. You know how we do. You know how we do here in the show. So.
Yes.
What are you thinking, right? Episode 10. I think we gave the people some good stuff.
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so. Yeah. I'm excited for what is to come.
Do you think episode 10 was 10 worthy for the people?
No.
No?
I feel like we could have hyped it up.
Really?
Yes.
You want to make me play that TikTok song? Hype me up. Hype me up.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe, I don't know. Huh. But no, we did it.
We did. We made it. Mm-hmm. We made it. It's just a stepping stone, right? Like, okay. I think you got to celebrate the small wins, those small milestones that happen in life, especially with your family, because it's something that you can look back on and you can kind of gauge to see, like, okay, well, I started out, I was here.
Yes.
I'm at least here now.
Yeah.
I ain't got to be here.
You're evolving as a parent, as a human at that.
I'm getting better. 1%.
Yes.
1% better every day.
From the atomic.
Come on. We spitting out a little knowledge. But no, man, we had a great time giving you this episode. So happy that you joined us and you stayed locked in. Hey, like, share, subscribe.
Please.
Don't miss any episodes, right? Go back and watch the first 9.
Yes.
Go back and watch those.
I'm sure there are things they forgot about.
They had to. You might have missed the episode. Go back and watch it. Just go back and watch it. And then catch up with us on episode 10 as we go into episode 11. We're going to keep bringing you this content because we're helping parents to build that relationship and that confidence.
One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time. So again, hey, look, I'm Andre.
And I'm Noah.
And we are the hosts of Parenting Next Gen Show. Had such a great time with you. Had Likewise. Such a great time with you. Hey, congratulations on episode 10.
Congratulations.
Signing out. Hey, look, we out of here. Peace.